get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie, man, episode 156. As usual, I'm your host, Scott, here with my co-host, Dante, man. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at Barbershare Scott, at October's on Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network, at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, subscribe to the Patreon. If you're watching this right now, that means you are a loyal Patreon subscriber. We had a lot of new subscribers this year. We pumped out a lot of content this week. We did not have summer sessions last week. That's my fault. The Bulls pissed me off when they lost to the Pelicans, and I didn't feel like talking. But this week's episode will be great because we've got Duke and North Carolina coming up this weekend in the Final Four. I have not watched one fucking tournament game, but I will be watching that one. And anybody who listens to our podcast, you know how big of a fan Damian is. You know how big of a fan Damian is of the Tar Heel. I got one of my homies who's a diehard Duke fan coming on. I'm finna Don King this whole situation this week. So y'all might want to tune in to that. So, and if you want to tune in at and see us, subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/barbershare network, $5 summer sections package, $5 79th and Hallis package. And if you want all of us, $10 for everything, man. We got a new 79th and Hallis dropping this week. We're going to talk about free agency so far. And so look out for that, man. But we're here. Time to talk about some basketball. I don't know about you, G, but I'm kind of tapped out of the regular season, bro. I'm kind of tapped out.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm tapped out because, you know, I really be interested in what the Bulls doing and how they can come back from, you know.
Minus the Bulls.
All of these injuries and shit. Yeah. But also, you know, like I said, I picked the Bucks to win the title because of, you know, all the bullshit in Brooklyn. They've been slowly but surely getting back on it. They only a half game out of first place right now.
Yeah.
And they've been playing well. You know, Toronto with Scotty Barnes, rookie of the year. I think bro got that sold up. They've really been fucking hooping. And so, you know, it's still a lot of good basketball going on. The fucking Mavericks, Luka finally got in shape. You know, he's getting in shape at the right time. End of the season, 8 games left. But he's really been cooking, and Dallas has been cooking since the Spencer Dinwiddie trade. So it's still some good basketball out there. So I would say I'm not checked out, but I will say I'm ready for the playoffs. It's about that time. You know, it's last two and a half weeks of the season.
About 2 weeks, yeah.
It usually, you get that vibe.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, it's not bad basketball. That's not the reason. I'm just like, nigga, let's just get it on. Let's just get to the postseason. Like, it's great basketball, and even in both conferences, you know, these races is pretty much going – the Eastern Conference in general is going to come down to the last fucking day. Seeds 1 through 10 are all incredibly close. And even with the West, I mean, the only three seeds I'll say are really locked in a position is probably Phoenix, Memphis, and the Clippers, because there's so big gap between Clippers and New Orleans. But, you know, there's battles over there in the fucking play-in too. So, you know, I feel like there's a lot of a good basketball on. Just me personally, anybody who knows me, I am very impatient person. Like, I don't even fucking like waiting for my fucking Uber. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm just impatient. So it's like, I'm just like, let's just get to the fucking playoffs, man. But let's kick it off, man. Let's talk about basically what we were saying, you know, all these tight races in the NBA. You know, we've got like basically three teams right now in the Eastern Conference, really all four. The top four in the Eastern Conference could be the top seed. You know, Boston, Miami are essentially tied. Milwaukee and Philly are both half game out. Our beloved Chicago Bulls are 3.5 out the first spot, but let's just keep it a buck. They're not getting number one spot. Boston is planning to rest a lot of guys tonight against Toronto. Fuck you, Boston, for that. But my question to you is, with everything going to the NBA, do you think we've officially entered the parity era of the NBA?
I mean, I'm not going to say that. I wouldn't go as that far, especially because we're still in such a awkward time. I know – you know, the whole world is acting like we're 100% removed from COVID, but we're not. You know, you still had your things here and there with Kyrie, like with Kyrie sitting out games and certain players not being able to play certain places and shit like that. So I wouldn't say we've reached that parity era, especially because at the end of the day, when all the chips are settled, you're probably still going to have only your juggernauts remaining. So I think with the way people treat the regular season now and the way they handle games and rest players, that's led to a lot of the parity. Like you mentioned today, Boston pretty much laying down today for Toronto, you know, and, you know, people talking about, Miami is tanking for, even though I think they're just not playing well right now, but people saying, no, Miami tanking to avoid Brooklyn, shit like that. And so it's interesting to see. But I wouldn't go as far as parity yet, because I think parity comes when you have those random teams winning championships, when you have those Detroit Pistons, those, you know, Dallas Mavericks, even though those weren't parity eras because you had teams win 3, 4, 5 championships in those eras. But that is when I'll say, you know, we've reached a parity era. When you see multiple champions like a Milwaukee Bucks from small market, shit like that, that's when I'll say, yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I definitely feel that. I will say this. I don't think the NBA will ever, quote unquote, have parity just because it's such a superstar driven league. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's a team up league. You know what I'm saying? Like with baseball, football, you know, I would say hockey, but even with hockey, I mean, you got a pretty dominant team right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They can win 3 in a row. But for the most part, in basketball, in baseball, football, you pretty much got a new champion every year, like random fucking teams. Like, the Buccaneers, you know what I'm saying? They won a championship. The Rams aren't random, you know what I'm saying? They're not like a team, like, you know, who's a story.
They were built to win that shit, yeah.
Yeah, they're not a story NFL fucking franchise. They haven't won a championship since fucking 1999 before this one. So, but with the NBA, I think this is the closest we're going to get to one, you know what I'm saying? Just because there's so much talent in the NBA. I think this is the most talent that's ever been in the NBA. Ever. Like, it's just so many nights. And, you know, it's to the point where, like, you still got your greats. You still got your, you know, your legendary guys. You know what I'm saying? You're watching LeBron put up these numbers and, you know, further cement his legacy. You got the older guard, which is like KD and Steph and those guys. Those are the older guard now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. KD got drafted my fucking right when I was about to graduate college, high school. I graduated high school, KD got drafted. So he's been in the league a long-ass fucking time. Steph has been in the league in a long-ass time. But then you also got, like, it's kind of like wrestling to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, for the first time, there's, like, different levels to it where it's not so top-heavy like it's been over the last couple years. Where you have your main event, which is, you know, Milwaukee's, the Phoenix's, the Golden State's. You know what I'm saying? The even though Brooklyn's in the play-in, Brooklyn – and then you still got your mid-card. You know what I'm saying? Luke and them are exciting. You know, Memphis is the rising team. Chicago, the Bulls are like a mid-card. So it's like you got a real fully fleshed out league is what I like. And last year's playoffs, I thought, were the best postseason we've seen in a long-ass time. I mean, we even had people complaining about, I don't want to see Phoenix and Milwaukee in the finals. Where's LeBron and Steph? Like, y'all complained about, we talked about this on the pod last year, y'all complained about having Steph and LeBron like 4 years in a row. Need mad, we got something else. Like, it's the point now where that was a great final, and I think this playoffs is going to be even better than that. Like, I think you got four legitimate contenders this year.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I haven't watched wrestling in years, so you lost me a little bit with that, but I know exactly.
Well, I haven't watched it either. But
no, I know exactly the sentiment you're getting at.
You know what I mean.
With the tiers of teams, and you still have quality, you know, quality matchups. And so, yeah, no, I agree with you, bro. But I think, like I said, at the end of the day, I'll say we reach parity when you start seeing these random teams run one off. You know what I'm saying? Even though, like you said, Phoenix is,
well, here's a question.
Is a long standing.
Milwaukee won last year. Phoenix wins this year. Those are two random ass teams.
Yeah. But right before that, the Lakers won. And who won before the Lakers?
I mean, if you want to count
Golden State, Toronto. Well, shit. Toronto, I mean, no.
There you go.
No. To your point, yeah. Toronto. So, you like, if you have three out of your last five be those type of teams, we may be, especially with the, you know, the floating superstar that we get. Because before that was what, fucking Cleveland?
Yeah, remember it was like from 2015 to 2018, it was number Cleveland and Golden State every goddamn year.
Yeah,
and outside of 2016, none of them shit's memorable. And the funny thing about this is my hot take about 2016 finals. Game 7 was probably the best basketball game I've ever seen in my life from a professional standpoint. But that series wasn't that good. The first two games were blowouts. They blew the shit out of them. Games 3 and 4, Cleveland smacked Golden State. Game 5 was fake decent. It was fake competitive. I give you that. You know, they had the Kyrie and the LeBron going 41. Game 6, nothing memorable about that. Game 7 was great. Like, as a moment, it's one of the best moments in not just NBA history, but in sports history. But it's an actual competitive series. I think it's overrated from a competitive standpoint. But that little rivalry, for the most part, was kind of one-sided. And, like, it was the point where we were getting and bored about it. 2017 and 2018 weren't competitive at all. They both should have been sweeps.
Yeah, and that was the unfortunate part about that, because when you got into those matchups, with all that hype, everything they tried to do to build them, like, Golden State would just come in there and beat their ass. Yeah. So, like, it was very, you know, very anticlimactic. So, I know I get exactly what you're saying, but, I mean, when you look at it, bro, like you said, the amount of random championships, and I think with, you know, like the James Harden situation you just had, when you have these superstars who gonna bounce team to team to team, we may be in the era of parity by default.
Yeah,
like it's not because teams have drafted well and made great decisions. It's because people now really just taking their destiny into their own hands and going where they want to go. Even with Chris Paul, you know, maneuvering his way to Phoenix. You know, shit like that, you know, seeing that young squad. And it's kind of like with the NFL and what we see now with quarterbacks who are picking these teams and going to teams, you know, like
craziest offseason.
Yeah. NFL Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, you know, just literally picking their team. Like, all right, this team is pretty set. All right, trade me there. So you starting to see that. So you know, even though I said we not, you may start seeing that. You
all may be right. It's the closest we'll get to. And I think the thing that to me that also stands out is, there's no real, like, team that you look at, like, oh, that's a juggernaut. They're going to run off, like, two or three in a row. Like, there's no team in the league to me that's built that way. You know what I'm saying? The Warriors were the last one just because they were so superstarish. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that right now. You know, Milwaukee could win back to back. But they're not a team who you look like, oh, there's just no way you can beat Milwaukee. I mean, all these teams have flaws, and that's why I feel like this playoffs is going to be extremely competitive. Like, we might get Eastern Conference Finals level series in the first fucking round. Niggas might get a Philly Boston in the first round, or a Philly Brooklyn in the first round. So that's what to me is like probably the closest we'll get, man. But
yeah.
Speaking of Brooklyn, over the last couple of days, like we all expect, we both pretty much predicted this would happen. Eric Adams was at the woofing he was doing.
Man, potato head.
Yeah, let go of the mandates. And we all know the reason why this happened. It's not about Kyrie. It's not about the NBA. It's the New York fucking Yankees. Let's just keep it all the way a buck. It was, and I'm glad KD said, I'm not naive to the fact to know the power of the Yankees and the Mets got in our city. You know what I'm saying? And so mainly the Yankees, but, you know, Steve Cohen got bread too.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that it's like the city gets like an $80 million revenue sharing from the Yankees or some shit. And the Yankees said, all right, if y'all going to pull this bullshit, we're not going to get y'all this $80 million. and so the mandate was lifted immediately. Like, yeah. So, you know, but and like I tell people, with 99% of things in America, just follow the money. Like, just follow the bread and you're going to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Follow the money.
He could have sat there and talked all that tough talking. You know, people are, you know, speaking on Kyrie, like he's a martyr or some shit. And it's like, no, bro. He could have ended this months ago by going to get the shot.
By walking to fucking CVS. Like, I feel like one thing about Twitter, and as we've been seeing with not just this Will Smith situation, which we will get into on Cinema with the Guys. So if I were y'all, I would check it out because we have some
thoughts.
Keep
my
that.
Fucking wife's name out of your...
Like, Twitter doesn't understand that two things can be right at the same time.
Yeah.
The mandate rule was stupid as fuck, right? Kyrie should be able to play if we're just talking about the rule. But at the same time, the only nigga who was holding him down was himself. Like, both things can be true. So, but on the basketball side of things, we're sitting here, Kyrie's back. Kyrie played his first home game last night against the Charlotte Hornets, which they fucking lost. Right now, they are in the ninth spot. Not even an A spot. They're the ninth spot right now. Have the same record as Charlotte, but it's a very important thing. And Charlotte has a tiebreaker over the Brooklyn Nets. So the Brooklyn Nets are on the ninth spot right now. They'd be hosting Atlanta in the play-in if the play-in started today. But they have been playing better. They've been 7-3 in their last 10, been looking like a much more competent team since Kevin Durant came back from injury, but still had two brutal losses this week. Of course, losing to Charlotte this week. But then they got their fucking ass kicked on Wednesday night by the Memphis Grizzlies minus Ja Morant, which we'll get into them later today. My question to you is, even though they've got their full team back, you know, for the most part, we don't know if and when Ben Simmons will come back, but this is pretty much going to be their team. What do you think is the ceiling for this team with everybody together now that Kyrie is full time?
I mean, I think the ceiling is NBA Finals, like especially if you get Ben back. But even without Ben, once you work with Kyrie into there with Seth, You know, Andre Drummond, and you already know what KD can do. KD's a walking bucket. We don't have to really discuss that nigga. He's, you know, the cream of the crop when it comes to NBA players. So it's really about, like you said, over these last 8-9 games, they're able to develop that chemistry and really get a flow and get everything going as far as their rotations. You know, Steve Nash having to adjust to the talent he now has on the court on a consistent basis, as far as not just, you know, he wasn't allowed to practice in New York, was he either?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, so yeah, so just having this man on the road, so now you have him full time. So I think the limit, the sky as far as the Brooklyn Nets is NBA Finals. Even though, like I said, I still got the Bucks coming out of the East. But if Ben comes back, I think all of that changes. But new Kyrie full time, even though you saw him lose, they needed that win against the Nets. The Hornets.
Yeah.
You needed that one. You like, even though I don't care about the whole Kyrie's first game in Brooklyn. You needed that for the sake of the playoff race.
Yeah, fuck his first game in Brooklyn. Yeah. You're fighting for your playoff lives right now. And right. I agree with you. I think the defense is not good, but they had, like, when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you got a shot every fucking night. And I think that one thing a lot of people are underselling, I think it's really going to come in handy come playoff time, Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. I think Andre Drummond is a real important piece. He can give them some type of defense, rebound the basketball, which he's been doing. He was hurt for a little bit. Him and Seth missed a couple games. But I think that's going to help them. And in a 7-game series, yes, you can lose a one-off game to Charlotte. In a 7-game series, this team is going to be hard to beat 4 times out of 7 just because of how potent KD and Kyrie are offensively. Like, those are two guys that even when they're having bad games, they're pretty fucking efficient, and they're still going to get their fucking points. And it becomes a closer game. You're doing more, adjustments, and you just can't beat that type of talent. So I'm with you as far as the ceiling. I do think the ceiling is NBA final. I don't think they have enough to win the championship. Just because defensively they really lack it, and I feel like if they play a team like Phoenix or Golden State, it wouldn't go well for them. Those are the two better defensive teams, and this is guessing that Steph Curry would be fine. That I think will be a problem for them. But one thing that I will say is that Milwaukee Brooklyn series was super, super close. I'm not gonna do the what ifs because I don't do what ifs, but it was a very close series, and that was without Kyrie. That was with James Harden on one fucking leg. So this can be – they can beat them if these guys are full strength. So that's why I feel like it's one of those things where they could be in the finals, and also wouldn't be shocked they lost in the first round either. It's a very polarizing team. But if I'm with you, if Ben Simmons comes back, that changes everything.
I don't see them losing the first round. I think it's no way in hell they lose.
I don't either, but I wouldn't be necessarily shocked either.
And I'm talking play-in and – whatever.
No, I'm not talking about playing. They're gonna win the play-in. Yeah. I'm talking about like them actually getting into the bracket.
Yeah, no, they're not gonna lose. Like it's just gonna be unfortunate for whoever got to play them. That's why I guess like people talking about Miami tanking it. Even in Miami, Boston is currently number one seed. That'll be a more entertaining series. But if like a team like Miami locks in that one seed and has to play Brooklyn, they getting smoked.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying, let's just say they get Milwaukee in the first round. Milwaukee's only half game out of the first. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
like I'm with you. I feel like that's the only team that I'm Brooklyn. The only team I'd be like, I don't want to see them niggas in the first round. Would probably only be Milwaukee. Yeah. I would take them over Philly. I'd take them over Miami. I'd take them over Boston.
Yeah, that's just for the sake of the battle. Like I'm not saying they're not confident that they can beat them because I think KD can. He thinks, you know, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
But as far as just for your energy level and everything you got to do to get up to the finals. You want to say that Milwaukee series, like if you got to face them in the second round, cool. But you want to say that for the conference final?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, man. So it's gonna be interesting to watch. I just love, as much as I think Kyrie is a bozo, I think he's one of the most entertaining players to watch. Like that nigga is like a maestro on the court. Like he's just like his bag. You know what I'm saying? Like he's probably one of the most gifted. Yeah. Point guards we've ever seen, like
handles, finisher, it's next level.
He doesn't have a flaw offensively at all.
Yeah,
I can't think of one. He got the great handles. He can cross niggas over. He got the shot is perfect. So that type of thing, I think, will help. And then Kevin Durant is just like he's just. There's nothing really that much else to say about
Jesus for the basketball.
Right, we've never seen a guy like Kevin Durant, man. So let's move on to another team who, you know, the two most talked about play-in teams in NBA history, Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers. You know what's funny about the Lakers, and I didn't notice till like a day or two ago, them niggas might not even make the play-in. Like, I'm finna break it down sliding. For y'all right now.
They are sliding.
They are, these niggas are sliding. Right now, they are at the 10th spot. They lost last night to New Orleans, blowing a 20-point lead, by the way. Had a 20-point lead twice. Lost to New Orleans last night. So they had a game behind New Orleans in the 9th spot. They are only a game up on the San Antonio Spurs. Now, I'm finna name off to y'all both teams' remaining schedules, right? For these next couple games. So this is who? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. These niggas got like 10 more games of the Lakers.
Yep.
So they play Dallas this week. In Dallas. Then they go Thursday in Utah. Then they go Friday at home against New Orleans, but they just lost to New Orleans.
I'm going to give it a dub on that one.
Then we go Sunday at home against Denver. Now, April 5th, they go to Phoenix. Phoenix might rest their guys. Phoenix really doesn't have anything else to play for. They already clinched the number one seed. So you got at Phoenix at that April 7th. You're in Golden State. And then you end the, then you're at home. Last home game is against Oklahoma City. And then you end the season on the 10th against Denver. So that's their schedule. Here's San Antonio's schedule.
Bullshit.
On the road against Houston. On the road against Houston tonight. They go on the they're at home against Memphis and Portland. Now they got a home. They got two straight at home against Portland. Memphis two in a row against Portland. Then they go on a two-game road streak against Denver and Minnesota. At home against Golden State, and they close out the season against Dallas in Dallas. So this thing right here, I still will probably take the Lakers to hold on to that 10th spot. Not because I have faith in them, and just I don't know how many games like. The Spurs can still trick off some of these weak-ass games. They're not fucking team. But the fucked up things, I think San Antonio has the tiebreaker. I'm pretty sure San Antonio has the tiebreaker over the Lakers. Let me double-check here. If I'm not mistaken, Lakers versus Spurs. I'm pretty sure they have the tiebreaker. So the Lakers have they ain't got that shit on here, man. Scores. Usually have like the list of games, So, they don't have it on him, but I'm pretty sure the Lakers have lost more games to the Spurs. So that's gonna come in handy on there. So, what's your opinion? Do you think the Lakers are gonna be asked out?
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna make it. And I know they're talking about Anthony Davis went through a full practice today for the first time and whatever the fuck.
I said him, man.
But it's really it's why like you need to really just regroup and try to compete for a championship next year. I think getting to the play-in and doing all of that really does nothing for this organization because this is not a championship roster. And you were fortunate enough to figure that out this season. So it's like you signed a lot of these dudes on one-year deals, team options for the second. So you can really just move on and try to, really reshuffle the deck because right now this is not it. So
This has been the season from hell for the Lakers. Like this
This is not what they expected.
This is not even what I expected. Like I said this team wasn't gonna make the finals. When the moves happened, I said I just did not like Russell Westbrook as a fit for this team. But even I didn't have them like fighting for the play-in, bro. Like this wasn't a play-in situation. Play-in didn't exist. They be resting LeBron right now because they niggas be a fucking lottery team. So yeah. Like I didn't see them being this bad, and I feel like everybody in the organization should take some blame. Rob Pelinka should take some blame. LeBron should take some blame. Russ should take some blame. Everybody should take some blame. There's nobody in that situation who's blameless. And I just think it's one of the – it's got to be an epic failure, you know what I'm saying, and the thing is, like, a lot of people had them in the championship. A lot of people had them in the finals. You know, despite how weird the fucking construction looked, we all knew that LeBron teams usually find a way. You know, they can at least – make it competitive and at least make it to a conference finals.
I definitely gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have them winning the championship, but I was like, yeah, they'll probably be in the West Conference Finals because right. I was like, look here in the West. Like, we all know the Clippers are probably going to be hurt majority this year. I thought Golden State would be good, but I didn't think they would be as good as they were to start the fucking year. Right. And, I had – both me and you had Phoenix, number one. I don't know why people thought Phoenix was just going to fall off for whatever fucking reason. But this is a failure season for them. And as far as Anthony Davis, there's no point to rush him back. If you rush him back to get a 10 seed, nigga, like he is your future. And you need this nigga healthy. We can talk about fit and whatever. If he's not healthy, you're not ever winning another championship again. It don't matter what else is going on in this roster. Nope. He has to be fucking healthy. And he hasn't proven he's been healthy his whole fucking career. So that's going to be a problem. So if I'm them, I'm like, look, AD rest. Worry about next season. We'll try to dump off these contracts in the offseason. See what you can do to make this team competitive again. But I will say this on a troll note that has nothing to do with logic in basketball. All you niggas who debate me about LeBron James, he better make the fucking play-in. Because what my agenda narrative rising, if this nigga misses the play-in, you can't get a top 10 seed, my nigga. You can't get a 10 seed. So for troll purposes, he better get one of them top 10 seeds. That's all I'm saying. I'm more specifically talking to my cousin. But that's all I got to say about the fucking Lakers. Hopefully we ain't got to talk about these niggas outside of winning time over these next couple of weeks. Because I'm tired of hearing about them. But let's get to our last topic before we get to weekly power rankings. So this is like, so it's really a two-part question. One, who would you name as the legitimate championship contenders right now? Like guys who, a team that you know, if they were hoisting the Larry O.B. in 2 months, that you wouldn't be shocked. And then the second part of the question is, who is the most vulnerable of those contenders, dude?
I think true championship contenders, I really got to go with, it's only in my eyes, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and this guy participated in 5-on-5s today, so my fourth one will probably be the Clippers.
You got the Clippers over Golden State?
The Golden State is really shaky. You know, Steph with the foot injury, Clay, realistically, we talking, you know, everybody's talking about Clay shooting career low, shake, because Clay ain't played in 2 years. So, yeah, Clay ain't played in 2 years. Draymond has been shaky as fuck. Like, he's been really inconsistent, so... I think, you know, we've been talking about them all year. If they get bro back.
I mean, that's a fair point. But the Clippers over them?
If they get bro back.
You expect a lot. I mean, I think Paul George will be back. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when.
Right. When he's back. But if he's Paul George, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if he's Paul George.
I picked the nigga for MVP. Come on now. Like, I'm putting a lot on it because I put a lot. Because I said Paul George was that cold. So
I'm not mad at you, Ryan.
Just like we talked about, you know, Kyrie and Brooklyn, once they were healthy, even though they're in a play game, we got them as, you know, title contenders. The Clippers are on that level for me.
If Kawhi was coming back, and we don't know yet, if Kawhi comes back, I'm with you. I just don't think Paul George by himself can beat Phoenix in a 7-game series by himself. Like, they can definitely beat Minnesota in a play-in with Paul George, for sure. But you win that. Well, then if they win that, they'd be the 7th seed. Okay, yeah. Actually, no, hold on. You might be 7th. I'm starting to think about it. See? Then they play Memphis.
And
Memphis, like Memphis, but they're still a young team.
You know, they ain't had that heartbreak yet.
You know what this team reminds me of, bro? And I know he's been getting the D-Rose comparisons.
This reminds me a lot of
that 2010, 2011 Bulls team where they would win even when Derek was hurt. And they would still find ways to win. Even when Derek was, you know, in 2012 and 2013, we were able to win playoff rounds even without Derek. Remember, Joakim Noah beat the Nets by himself in 2013. Yep. Him and Nate Robinson. So it reminds me of that, where they're that type of team. Like you said, they ain't got their heart broken yet. So, I could, you know, if the Clippers, you know, beat Minnesota, if they get Paul George back, they beat Minnesota in the play-in, because that's another young team. This is a team that the Clippers went to the conference finals last year. They beat Minnesota in that play-in game, and they get the 7th seed. Hey, you're right. They could beat Memphis, and then they be who they play in the next round. They probably have to play probably Dallas or somebody like that.
I'm telling you, it makes sense. It makes sense.
It definitely makes. I'm not mad at that take. So who do you think is the most vulnerable out of these contenders?
At the most vulnerable, East or West?
In general.
Just in general?
Yeah.
Right now, honestly, I would have to say the most vulnerable is. I know I just shitted on Golden State, but I really got to go with the Miami Heat. I think because right now, like I said, they either tie for first or, you know, whatever. But they've been
tied for first. But,
yeah, they've been at the top most of the year. Boston has the percentage points, so they just beat them. Yeah. But I think that's a team, you know, with the up and like Jimmy, you know, you don't know. He's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like, I know he turns it on in the playoffs because he's a competitor, but what Jimmy am I gonna get? You know, and I know what how we go from there. So like, that's a team that I think, even with all the hype, I could see them getting, you know, second round exit, like just getting smacked and getting up out of there. Or if they run into Brooklyn in the first round, losing in the first round to Brooklyn, like I could see that happening. So I think I was going to say Boston, because bro just tore his ACL. Williams,
yeah, Robert Williams,
and you know,
yeah,
and he's a defensive. Well, no, I'm sorry, he tore his meniscus, so he's out.
That's still two months, damn.
But yeah, so you know, waiting on him to see how that plays out. But
I got some takes on Boston and Milwaukee and Miami, because I don't think neither one of them are legitimate contender, quote unquote. To me, like I don't see if we fast forward to mid June, I would bet good money we don't see Tatum or Jimmy Butler up there with the damn trophy, but. they're good regular season teams, man. Like always, and people got mad at me when I said this, but I'm not saying I would pick the Bulls in any of these series. Let's be very clear. I'm not picking the Bulls in a 7-game series against anybody who's not named the Cleveland Cavaliers. I would pick us in a series against them, and I pick us against Toronto too. It'd be 7 games, but I'd still pick us against Toronto. Outside of them two, I'm not picking the Bulls over any team. But with that being said, if you look at the options, the potential options the Bulls could play in the playoffs, the teams that are the most favorable matchups are Boston and Milwaukee, because both of them niggas are smelly offensively. I know we all getting caught up in this Boston win streak is great, but they half-court offense is just as smelly as the Bulls half-court offense. And if you take away Robert Williams from that, that levels the playing field a little bit more to me. I would still take Boston in a very highly contested series. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Bulls stole one from them. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bulls stole one from Miami. These are two great defensive teams, but where's the offense? You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen Boston over the last couple of years. I love Tatum. But Tatum ain't going to do this shit by himself. Boston has failed the playoffs the last couple of years. They made it to the conference finals his rookie year. But what have they really done since then?
Yeah, and JB got hurt last year. And, you know, we always see Tatum go into beam mode and, you know, try to replicate that. But I think really – Their surge has been because of their improvement on the defensive end. Yeah. So losing bro, seeing how Reggie Tice will, you know, he gonna have to step up, play significant minutes at the five spot, you know. But bro was just so versatile and did so much for them. So we're gonna have to see how that really affects them, because it puts the pressure on everybody else. Because, you know, Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, they all could be, you know, a little more aggressive on defense, because. Yeah. They had that fail safe back there, you know. Now that bro is not going to be there, and then when
he
comes back,
the game, man.
Yeah, it changes everything.
And for people who, and I always say, there's people who watch basketball and there's people who watch basketball. A little thing like that can change your defense.
Small
look at
shit.
How night and day how the Bulls' defense is without Alex Caruso on that court.
Yeah,
Alex Caruso is one that I hate plus minus. But Alex Caruso is one of the few guys I feel like, well, you don't really know his impact until you look at plus minus. It's a night and fucking day. So that's going to change a lot for Boston. Now, as far as my actual contenders, I'm going to put Phoenix, obviously. Milwaukee, obviously. I'm still going to throw Golden State in there. And I'm going to throw Brooklyn in there. I'm going to throw Brooklyn. Those are my legitimate four contenders. I'm not on Philly. I'm really not. As you can see it right now, Harden is doing his disappearing act. And this is not something that's just like we're just making up. Harden still has to prove it in the playoffs, bro. He fails every year. And I'll tell y'all how I feel about Doc Rivers. Cool dude. One of the most coolest niggas I done met in my life. Like, this nigga didn't know me from anybody. And we sat in LAX and we talked about the Bears for 30 minutes while we waited for our flight. Cool nigga. But he is not one of the best coaches come playoff time. That's going to be a problem. And I also feel like it's a mix of them also tanking a little bit. I really don't think they want to see Brooklyn in that first round. Remember, they tried to tank against Miami, but it didn't work. Because Maxie went crazy, and they ended up beating Miami. So I think it's a mix of the two. But out of the four actual contenders, that's who I would pick. And out of those four, the most vulnerable would have to probably be Golden State, because we don't know what we're getting injury-wise. Steph, I didn't like what Steph said when he had that press conference like a week ago. I'm optimistic that I will play. You don't want to hear that shit from your best player, the motor. You don't want to hear that shit. Like you said, we don't know what we're getting from Clay. Game in and game out. And shit ramps up come playoff times. He ain't going to have that time to rest like he usually did before. So that's going to be an issue. Now, they've got a lot of young guys on this team who have not been in this playoff position before. That's going to be something that's going to make a huge impact. So I would say right now they would be the most vulnerable, but I really feel like we're on a collision course for Bucks Suns too. Like, that's where I feel like this is going. This NBA playoffs is going to be incredible. I think we're going to have a lot of upsets, so anything can happen. But if I had to put a gun to my head right now, that's why I was like, make an NBA final prediction, I think we back in Phoenix for part two of this series.
Yeah. No, that I wouldn't mind that.
Like, I wouldn't mind it either.
Healthy Chris Paul, you know, get a chance at redemption. So seeing how that rocks. But no, I agree with you. We definitely in tune for a great set of it's too soon for me to even try to attempt to make a finals prediction, but
yeah, this is just way early.
Yeah, I know the playoffs are gonna be nuts.
Yeah, playoffs are gonna be super fun, man. So let's wrap this up. Our weekly power rankings, man, 1 through 5. Keep telling y'all, if, you know, anybody who don't know, these are just based off week to week basis. This is not who's the best team in the league this year. This is off week to week basis, man. You want to go first with your list?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Go ahead.
All right, coming in at number 5 for me, I got the Milwaukee Bucks. Like I said, that's my sleeping giant. I really think that's the team that's going to come out of the East. But, you know, they've been playing a lot better. You know, only a half game out of the one seed after pretty much, you know, I ain't going to say sleepwalking through the regular season, but you've had players out. You know, you've had a little bit of everything. So I got them at the 5 spot. Number 4 for this week, I got the Toronto Raptors. They played their way to the 6th seed. They won 2 straight. They won 8 of their last 10. You know, like I said, Scottie Barnes has really been fucking hooping. And, you know, we talk about that team with Fred VanVleet. And, you know, just they fly under the radar because they are in Toronto. We got to just be honest about that. They don't get the coverage that other NBA teams get. So you really got to, like, you have to go try to find, you know, shit about the Raptors. But I think that's a team that, you know, they'll be exciting. But if they run into the Bulls, or I think they'll be a first-round exit. But I like what they're doing so far, and so that's why I got them at 4 this week. 3, I got Memphis. You know what I'm saying? We keep talking about them winning without Ja. And, you know, I think that's important, and, you know, that kind of shows just the strength of that team. And, you know, we'll see how far that takes them come playoff time, being able to have that balance and, you know, not being rattled when your star's not there. So, you know, you never know what happens in the playoffs. If anything happens, you know, we'll see what that does for them. But I got them at 3 right now. 2, the Celtics. Like I said, you know, they've been – on fire. I think they are, yeah, they 9-1 in their last 10. They won 6 in a row. And so, you know, Jason Tatum's playing out of his fucking mind. Jaylen Brown doing what he does. We're going to see how that injury affects their defense. You know, they have the number one defense in the league, I believe, since the All-Star break. And so that has been, you know, key to their resurgence. So seeing how that plays out. So I got them at 2. And number 1, they have been so, they've been the one consistent all year, the Phoenix Suns. See, 9-1 in their last 10, won 8 in a row. Devin Booker, I think, has strengthened his MVP case. You know, a lot of people said Chris Paul is the only reason they are who they are now. But, you know, we all talked about how, you know, a lot of people threw it under the bus. But, you know, in that bubble when they went undefeated, you know, without Chris Paul, you know, he wasn't there yet. So you had Devin Booker and that entire team show you that they were ready to take that next step. So that you've seen that continue. And so you've seen the play. And I think Devin Booker has been going fucking crazy. So you got to really tip your cap to him. And I think I got them as my number 1 team this week.
We pretty much got damn near the same list. It's just like really just 4 and 5 is on the order. I got Toronto at 5. Like you said, they've been on a roll. 8-2 in their last 10. I mean, they've got some big wins. They won like 5 in a row up in that stretch, swept their West Coast trip, got a huge win in Philly. They're a really good team, man. I think Siakam's hooping, Fred VanVleet, of course, he's an all-star this year. And Scottie Barnes. Scottie Barnes is great. Scottie Barnes is like, he really looks like a kid. Like, he legit looks like, you know, yeah, like he's fucking 14. But he's been hooping, man. That whole team is just like, real good team, man, and I'm glad that the Bulls had a so-so week this week, you know, getting the brakes beat off them by Milwaukee and losing in hilarious fashion against the Pelicans, but they got 2 very important wins this week over Toronto and over Cleveland. So if it does come to a situation where we're tied with either of them, we have the tiebreaker. So that's going to come in handy for them. But I'll put Toronto number 5. If I'm put Milwaukee, like you said, Milwaukee is on a run right now. They've been turning it up, knowing it's time to, you know, get in the championship form. 7-3 in their last 10, only a half game out of first place. Giannis is looking unstoppable. Chris Middleton, and they've won a couple games even without Chris Middleton being out the injury. I'm out the lineup. You really seeing like Drew start to step up in this team. And, you know, they got Brook Lopez back, and they're really getting together and getting ready to defend that title, man. Three, like you said, Memphis. There's really not too much to say about them. 17-2 without Ja. It's like they don't miss a beat without Ja. Three big wins this week without Ja. I mean, Ja's gonna be out pretty much in the playoffs. They said they'll reevaluate him in 2 weeks, so he'll probably be reevaluated probably like a couple days before the postseason starts. But they got enough to hold it down. Desmond Bane's been great. Steven Adams has been great. Jaren Jackson might be Defensive Player of the Year. Like, they've been a really, real solid team. You got to give up to Taylor Jenkins for the way he's been coaching. And not only these two wins they had this week, they're two blowout wins. They beat the hell out of Brooklyn in a game that fucking Kyrie and KD had like 70 combined points. And they beat the shit out of fucking Milwaukee last night. And fucking Giannis had like 30-some points. So this is a team that is wrecking with, man. And, you know, of course, we get to the playoffs, a different story. But as far as regular season, I mean, I don't think anybody saw this type of season they're going to have. Number two, going to Boston, Ime Udoka is probably going to be – I mean, he has a good case to be coached. I mean, Monty might get it, and rightfully so. They've been the best team since the fucking season started. But this team went from – they're like the opposite of the Bulls. Like, remember, the Bulls were all good before regular season. I mean, before the All-Star, the Bulls were number one in the East at All-Star break. And this team was playing. And they steadily start creeping. And they back in the top six. Then they got to fifth. Then they're fourth. They're the number one seed right now. And this is a team that the defense has been great. Jalen and Jason Tatum are starting to work a little bit. But this huge injury to Robert Williams might change a lot for them. So that's going to be something to watch for. From that perspective, but Boston has just been on a fucking roll, you know. And the only team I have over them, like you said, is Phoenix. Phoenix number one. I mean, 61-14 right now. They've clinched the number one seed. They got home court throughout the fucking playoffs. 9-1 in their last 10. 1-8 in a row. I mean, what's really more to say about them? And this is, you know, without Chris Paul for the most part. Chris Paul only been back for two games, which he came back way earlier than I expected him to come back. Devin Booker has been great, and I wouldn't give him like an MVP vote or nothing like that, but I do think that we're seeing a growth in his play to where he's very confident in the way he is, and he knows that even without Chris, I can do this thing, I can carry this team. But, you know, I think it's also because of Chris Paul and just the way that Monty coaches the team. And we got to give a lot of love to DeAndre Ayton, too. He's really been hooping during this time, too. And that's gone really under the radar. That's probably one of the two reasons why this team is staying afloat and why I probably not a slight to Devin, but that's probably why I wouldn't give him an MVP vote compared to other people, man. But that's my top five. That's my top five right now. And that's why I got it going. I'm just really, really eager to get this regular season over. Yeah. And the East is going to go down to the last fucking day. I mean,
it's because, I mean, you said that shit about the Bulls, but like, quiet as it's kept, they could, if we don't, you know, if they somehow learn how to defend in these last 7 days, it's not mathematically impossible for them to not get the one seed.
Yeah, it's like, not math. They're only 3.5 out. Only 3.5 out. They've got 8 games left. When we're recording this tonight, they're playing the Knicks, and they play on Tuesday. Against Washington. Those are two games you have to fucking win.
Must win.
Have to win. The Knicks been playing much better these last couple games since Tibbs started playing the young boys. And you know Tibbs was like nothing more than to beat the Bulls when they're trying to get seeded. Mm-hmm. And Knicks-Bulls games are always competitive. You got to win that. There's no cools on Tuesday against the Wizards. You got to win that and help yourself get that. I think if they finish 4-4 of these last 8, that they're not going to be in the play-in. I'm pretty confident that they'll stay out of the play-in. But, you know, they go home for a 5-game home streak, but these are tough 5 games. These are all against playoff teams. And they end the season in Minnesota. So, really interesting to see. But like you said, it's not out of realm possibility for them to get a higher seed than where they're at right now. So, that's going to be interesting to watch over these next couple weeks to see. We have no idea really what any of these playoff matchups are going to be. And that's pretty fun for this part of the season because we pretty much, for the most part, know who's going to play who at this time of the season. So, that's all we got for y'all this week, man. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott at October Zonte. Follow Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. $5 package, $10 package. Get everything you want, man. For everybody who's watching this, we appreciate y'all for your supporting this company. And we're gonna continue to pump out more content for y'all, man. Got a lot of good shit coming once the playoffs arise, man. So we'll holler at y'all next week, man. We are out.